Welcome to season two of the Dare to Believe podcast.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season two?
I'm very excited about season two. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe.
Today we are talking about dream interpretation, and I'm really excited about this. I love this topic.
Me too.
I love talking about it with my friends, and I dream a bunch, but I've learned a ton from Christy. So Christy, can you give me just a brief overview, and our listeners, a brief overview of biblical dream interpretation?
I'd love to. We actually use the term ancient Hebraic dream interpretation when we teach dream interpretation, because what I found is the metaphoric language in dreams is very common in the ancient Hebrew language. And the ancient Hebrew people understood dreams. Nobody had to interpret it for them.
Sure.
And the reason is that they understood metaphors. So if you look at dreams in the Bible or the Psalms or parables, it's all metaphoric language. And so if you people want to understand their dreams better, start to study that type of thing in Scripture. But people often wonder, is this really okay to do? Am I doing something that God would want me to do? And what I want to encourage...
It kind of sounds like...
New Age
or psychic, yeah.
And those are all counterfeits of the real thing that God gave us. And so what I want to encourage people to remember is that almost a third of the Bible relates to dreams or visions. So don't be afraid of paying attention to what God is saying to dreams and visions. You do want to do it well, and you do want to make sure that you're guarding your heart, all those things, but the Lord's more powerful than anything that is coming against you. So remember that. And in Scripture, there are so many dreams. There really is a lot of dreams in Scripture. Solomon, in a dream, had a discussion with the Lord about his leadership, and the Lord asked him what he wanted, and he basically said wisdom, and he got wisdom and all kinds of other great thing gifts in the dream. So Lord gives us gifts and dreams. There's biblical precedent for that. Gideon, the Lord was trying to encourage him to walk in his destiny. And in order to do that, the Lord gave his enemy a dream, because Gideon was trying to muster up determination to go out into battle, but he wasn't quite confident to do that. And then he overheard these people saying, well, oh my goodness, I had a dream last night, and there's a great big barley loaf rolling down the hill, and it took out the whole army, and surely Gideon is a mighty man of God. And like, how does that represent Gideon?
I'm not sure how they got that.
Yeah, but that's the metaphoric language.
Right.
So God used that dream, and he used the metaphor of a barley loaf of bread, because Gideon was the guy who was threshing wheat on the wine press floor because he was hiding. Because who's the guy that was in charge of the wheat? And what do you make bread from? It's wheat. You know, he's the wheat guy. And even the enemy's armies knew what Gideon did. And so they knew metaphorically that a big loaf of bread would represent the guy who made the bread.
Yeah.
And so that's how they knew that. But overhearing that dream of someone else gave Gideon the courage to do what he was called to do. So that's another example of why dreams are important. Joseph not only received dreams about his destiny. I mean, it took 20 years for him to walk in the destiny, but he interpreted a lot of dreams. Daniel interpreted dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that were over his life and over his country. Jacob had an encounter in his dreams of the angels coming and going from heaven. What an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And even Pilate's wife had a dream, and she wasn't walking with the Lord. So that's great precedent for everybody's dreaming.
Yep.
The Lord's pouring out a spirit on all people, and they will dream and they will prophesy is what he tells us. But Pilate's wife was warned in a dream, you know, tell your husband not to have anything to do with this man because he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
You know, that changed history because she listened to her dream. So I just encourage people not to discount it, to study the Scriptures first, to get good training, and to pay attention to your dreams and just ask the Lord to speak to you and to show you what he wants you to know.
Yeah. Let me interject, one of my other favorite things about dreams is God entrusted the safety of Jesus,
amen,
to the dreams that he gave Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, first off, Joseph is willing to marry his pregnant fiance, who is not pregnant by him, based on a dream.
Right.
And he later learns that he should take his family and flee to Egypt. Based on a dream. So the Lord saved Jesus' life by giving Joseph a dream, tells him when to come back. He also gives him a dream telling him which way to go, where to go, so that the prophecies about his son would be fulfilled. So God was really confident about Joseph receiving the dreams and trusting and walking him out.
Yeah, so there's a lot of important information, revelation, direction, correction, all those things available to us in dreams. And if we're afraid of dreams and we cut them out of our life, we're missing a huge opportunity that the Lord created us to have. He created us with the ability to dream. The enemy didn't create us with the ability to dream. There's only one creator, God. And the enemy might have counterfeited it and hijacked us, but the Lord is the one who created us with the ability to receive dreams. And so let's pay attention to those things.
That's right. So good.
And so what we've asked today is some of our friends that have dreams to let us interpret their dreams. So Rebecca's going to tell us the dream and I'm going to interpret them.
Yeah, we've asked our friends to send in different dreams that they've had, short dreams, and we're going to keep their names out just for their own anonymity. Mm-hmm. But I'll read the dream and Christy will interpret it.
And actually, when we're talking about dreams, there really is not a need to be asleep when you're dreaming. Did you know that? You can interpret a daydream as well. So sometimes people are wide awake and their mind just kind of goes off in a daydream. That can be a very anointed time. And if it's literal, it's more of a vision, if you're seeing something. But if they're imagining all kinds of cool stuff, that can use interpreting and it's like a daydream. So you can interpret a dream or a vision whether you're awake or asleep.
Yeah, yep. That's a really good point. I've definitely had a few of those where I look back and I'm like, wow, the Lord was on that. That was not just my mind wandering.
Yeah, and a lot of people have trouble imagining that it's productive time, just letting your mind wander, but it really can be if you're partnering with the Lord. So
I, for one, by the way, dream a lot, and it's probably one of the strongest ways. I won't say it's the strongest way, but probably one of the strongest ways that the Lord speaks to me. And I've received a lot of direction in my dreams, a lot of confirmation. And just plenty of times where God just loves on me and I feel known and seen and he knows what's going on in my life. So this is a really fun topic and one that has affected me personally.
Well, and I like what you said, because one of the first things you want to find out when you're interpreting even your dream for yourself or a dream for someone else, is why did the Lord give that person the dream? And you named a few reasons. Most of the time it is for you. Most of the time it is for the dreamer. And a lot of times it's more of a self-condition, we call it, but it's more just the Lord wants you to know, I understand how you feel, what life's been like for you. And that's what you just said. That's that Lord hears you and sees you and knows how you're doing and cares how you're doing. And then there can be correction dreams or direction dreams or prophetic dreams or warning dreams or healing dreams. All kinds of things happen in dreams, or a mixture of all of the above.
Right.
So can you tell us the first dream?
Sure. So our first dream is called Time to Move. And the dreamer said, I was in an apartment with my mother. My sisters came over and said it was time for mom to move. We shared an apartment and my sister said that mom was moving. There were still like 3 sofas and 2 pretty large chairs in the apartment. I asked if she was taking them and my sister said no. I said that they needed to move these and I asked when the lease was up and she said the end of March. And didn't give me much time to look for a new place, just over a week. Then I woke up.
And so the dreamer has to move and mom has to move. Everybody's moving out of this apartment, does it sound like?
It sounds like just mom is moving. Or no, it looks like no, everybody's, because she's, you know.
She has to find a new place.
She has to find a new place. So everybody's leaving.
Well, if the dreamer were here, I'd have some questions for her. But so in the dream, I'm just going to say it back because that helps me. She's in an apartment, which is, I know this dreamer, and it's not where she lives. So that's helpful to know in the dream. If I had the dreamer here, I'd talk to her more about it. But an apartment is not something you own. It's kind of a semi-temporary place. You lease it. You lease it probably longer term. It's not like a hotel, but it's a shorter shorter term living arrangement. And so what the Lord is telling this dreamer is that you're in a pretty temporary, fairly temporary living situation, and it's coming to an end. And at the end of March, and when we're recording this, it's way past March. So I believe that the dreamer had it recently. So when the lease is going to end at the end of March, which is not leaving her much time, it's like it's time to march. It's more of it's time to get moving.
It's a play on words.
It's a play on words, right. And so mothers and sisters usually represent the church and probably some sisters in Christ. So there is a spiritual change happening in her life with community. And so it's time for this shift to happen where her mother's no longer going to be living with her. It doesn't mean that there's a broken relationship. It just means that there's a change coming for this dreamer, and that the lease is going to be over, but there's a lot of stuff that has to be finished before they make this move. Sofas and chairs, that's just the furniture. So the things that are taking up space in their relationship in this season of her life, there are things she has to take care of before they make the move, and it's time to march pretty soon. So that's a pretty
really
simple
fun.
Dream. So the Lord's basically, if she were in front of me, I'd say, well, the Lord's talking to you about your life, and it's time to make a change. It's happening. It's going to happen fairly soon. In your spiritual environment. The Holy Spirit's moving you. Time's up. But it's going to be a change in relationships, not broken relationships. I would stress that. It's just change in relationships. Mm. And it's time to happen pretty soon.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is fun.
Wow. I mean, I wish the dreamer was here. We could ask her how she feels about that, because that would feel, you know, again, like you're known and seen by the Lord, because there's probably things about this that are speaking straight to something she's feeling and processing.
Mm-hmm.
And here the Lord is speaking right into that.
Right. And I love to have the dreamer right with me. That's my favorite way to interpret dreams, because I like to ask them, how does that set in your spirit? Because a dream interpreter can get something wrong. You need to not just take every single thing they say as God's truth. They're doing the best they can, and they're usually very gifted at what they do. But if there's something that really doesn't feel right in your spirit, you need to take that to the Lord yourself and ask why. Just don't believe everything that you're told.
Sure.
But I like to ask the dreamer that. Is there any part how does that feel to you? And usually people are feeling pretty peaceful. You can tell by the look on their face that they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I know what God's talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, I'd say the same thing with a prophetic word, or anytime someone is ministering to you, there is a responsibility on your part of
yes.
weighing what is being said, even if it's a sermon at church, even
right.
if it's the pastor who you like and respect who's preaching, to not swallow everything that's being fed to you, but search the scriptures. Does this align with scriptures, first off?
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, how does it resonate in my spirit? I've got the Lord inside of me, and he's
great. Do I
have
peace on this?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Do I have peace? Are the fruit of the Spirit evident and coming to the forefront because of what's being said and what's being released and this interpretation? And mm-hmm. if not, if you have peace and love and joy being manifested in your heart, that's a good thing. If somebody says something and now you have fear and shame and guilt and feel powerless, that's probably not the Lord speaking to you.
Right. And he can be calling out something. If you've got something that has to be dealt with, there can be those feelings may bubble up, but there's hope, because
right.
you want to also compare a dream interpretation or a prophetic word against the character of God. And how does he tell himself? Who does he tell us in scripture that he is? How does he describe himself? I recommend, if people want to really meditate on the character of God, there is a wonderful audio recording by John Paul Jackson called 365 Names of God. And what he is doing, he's taken out of Scripture the things that God calls himself in different places in Scripture, and he just speaks them out. And John Paul Jackson's no longer alive, but he had this really powerful voice, and he's just speaking forth who God said he was. And it's really a very powerful way to meditate on the names of God. I recommend that.
Love that.
And then if you're in doubt about a dream interpretation or a prophetic word that you've received, and you're just not sure, like, I don't know if I feel right about this or not, please take them to a trusted spiritual mentor of yours. Take them to other people who know you and know the Lord, and let them pray with you over it.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good advice.
Yep.
I know there's been times I've received like a prophetic word or something where there's a bit of a mixture in it. There's some stuff that's pretty accurate and kind of hits home. And then there's other stuff that doesn't feel good. And so the whole thing can get confusing. And I've definitely brought those to people I trust and in relationship with and whose walk I respect. And said, like, hey, can you kind of help me navigate this one? What do I take from it? What do I leave behind?
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's okay to do that. It really is okay to do that because it's being filtered through a human being who is not perfect. It may be originating with the Lord who is perfect, but it's being filtered through a human being who's not perfect. And so even when we try our hardest, we can get some of our flesh involved in it. So it's very good to take it to the Lord. So let's listen to another dream.
Let's go to dream two. Okay, I don't think this one has a title. But the dreamer said, the other night I had a dream that I was at a party or a gathering with friends, and there was a man picking on me. He kept nagging me and pushing me and trying to get me to react. I was super annoyed, but he wouldn't go away no matter what I did. I left the party and later learned that one of my friends shot him. I was very relieved and assumed he had died. I got home and he was in my house. Same thing. He kept nagging me, pushing me, trying to hurt me. He wouldn't leave me alone, and I was disappointed because I thought he had died. Then my husband came home in the house and kicked him out, and he wouldn't leave until my husband kicked him out.
And there's no title on this dream.
No title on the dream.
Any colors or emotions that they talked about? The disappointment, but is that kind of it?
That appears to be it.
Okay. So this
obviously bothered by this, really kind of probably frustrated and upset.
Well, and so this is a little bit of a warning.
Super annoyed.
Yep, a warning. Again, you ask the question, okay, why is the Lord giving this person a dream? Well, to warn them, to correct them, and to tell them about what's actually going on in their life. And so what this individual is dealing with is there's some issue that the enemy is harassing them over and over again, and they've probably gotten ministry, they've gotten prayer, they thought they've dealt with this thing, and it just keeps coming back. And so what is described here is picking on me, I'm at a party, so when probably they're at church or they're in a Christian gathering, most likely, they've dealt with it, this guy was picking on them, but this person got away and someone dealt with it, someone ministered, someone prayed or prophesied, something happened, and they thought, okay, good, that's taken care of. It's gone. Yeah. Well, then when they're alone in their home, you know, in the quiet parts, when you're alone and the enemy starts to harass you and your thoughts or in your feelings and your emotions, again, this is coming back and they're disappointed because it's still recurring. Mm. And so then in their house, when their husband comes home, most times in a dream, when a husband shows up, most of the times, there's layers to dreams. It may be a little bit about a marriage, a spouse, but most of the time that husband is the Lord. And so when the Lord shows up, this is the only time you can actually get rid of that issue. So this person is probably going to people for prayer, and she needs to go to the Lord to deal with the root issue and really get free. The Lord's the only one that can truly set them free. So that's what the dream's saying to them.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
That's so fun. I love this. I love how it's like a fun game. I don't mean to trivialize it, but you have to pull on it to see the revelation. It's not just there for you.
Right. And you know what's interesting is, speaking of revelation, there can be almost two gutters. When I teach on this, I talk about bowling. You know how when you're bowling, there's a gutter on either side. And the goal is not to bowl down the gutter, although some of us do that more often than not. The goal is to kind of have a direct center shot and make a strike, right? So similarly, when you're interpreting a dream, one of the gutters is to interpret a dream solely based on the revelation you've received. And revelation is so important. You never want to interpret a dream without Holy Spirit.
Right.
So, but people will get revelation and give an interpretation, and it's not wrong, but they've missed a lot of what the dream is saying because they haven't unpacked it more. And then the other gutter is to look at dream symbols and a book on dream symbols or a dictionary and say, okay, if this is this, then this is this, and they put A, B, C, and D together, and they almost like an equation, they've got the dream interpretation, but you've left Holy Spirit out of it. And there's no part of revelation involved in that. It's more of a cognitive, logical plotting out the dream.
Sure.
And so really when both those are gutters if they're done alone. So you don't want to go down either gutter, which means you're leaving out the other portion of the dream interpretation. But what our goal is to bring in elements of both of those. And then you hit center what the dream's about. And then in Ephesians 1:17, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, but he says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is really what dream interpretation in any prophetic work is about, is having both wisdom from heaven, which is what Solomon asked for and got, and revelation, which is any time the Lord speaks to us from the Spirit, so that you would have spirit and revelation, but it isn't so that we'll just know a lot of stuff or we'll even know how to pray or any of those things that we talked about. Paul says it's so that you may know him better. So the Lord gives us these things, and there's lots of other reasons the Lord gives us dreams and talks to us this way, and all of them are so that we'll know him better.
Amen.
And know that he knows us and he's a good father and he wants to help us. One encouragement I give people when they're starting to pay attention to their dreams and look at dream interpretations is, if it's from the Lord, it's in your spirit. Do not sweat it if you don't know the interpretation, because people can get really anxious and stressed out about trying to remember every dream and trying to get the interpretation because God's telling me something really important and I'm in trouble if I don't figure it out. Well, that's not the way God works. He wants you to learn, and he will cause you to have to draw closer to him and get into the word more in order to understand your dreams better. That's drawing closer to him. But he's for you. He wants you to understand these things. He's not a father who dangles something out in front of you and says, now you figure it out and you're in trouble if you don't. But that's how many people treat their dreams.
Right.
So stay calm and say, God, I'm trying. Can you tell me what this dream means? Or can you help me find somebody who can help me with my dreams? And
yeah.
He'll send you someone.
That's so good. He's always inviting us into a closer relationship with him.
Exactly.
His dreams or whatever it is an invitation. It's not about getting it right or wrong and punishment and just kind of following rules. It's always an invitation into a deeper relationship with them.
Always.
Which is part of unraveling the dream. If they're spoken straight out, we'd have accountability at a really high level. This is like Jesus talking in parables. It's because the ones that are meant to hear it, they're going to pull on it and find the revelation there. And the ones that don't have the heart to hear it, they're not going to be held accountable at that same level if he spoke directly.
All right. Do you have any other dreams we can interpret, Rebecca?
Yes, we've got a few more here. Okay, so this one was someone sent in. This person was at a conference and felt responsible for making sure that these two black snakes didn't get out of the environment or the conference. She would grab them, stuff them in her backpack, and they'd escape, and then she would do it again. She wasn't sure that it was actually her responsibility to do that. It just felt like something that needed to be done. She wasn't scared. There wasn't any fear in the dream.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't hurt her. They didn't bite her.
No.
Did she say there was a title or anything for the dream?
No, I don't have a title for the dream.
Yeah. And so the reason I ask for titles is because it helps a lot when the dreamer has to give the dream a title. They tend to distill down what is the most important thing that they can feel in the dream. They don't even consciously do it, but they just figure out this is the most important piece. And that tells you a lot with the title. But it's helpful, but not essential. But with this dream, so she's in a conference. Does she say if it's full light, if it's colorful, any of that?
No, the only color that they have here is
the snakes
are okay. Mostly black.
So she's in a conference, and there's these two snakes that are trying to get around, and she is picking them up and puts them in her backpack, and she's trying to make sure they don't do anything they shouldn't do at this conference. And they keep escaping from her backpack, but they don't get far. She picks them up and puts them back in, and they never hurt anybody. She's not sure if it's really her responsibility, but she doesn't want them to wreak any havoc. So really, this is the Lord speaking to her about a burden she's taking on that may or may not be hers, but she's aware of some lies. Snakes are always about lies. They've got long tails, they have venom, they're deceit, they're lies. And even in scripture, there's only one place in scripture where snakes a good thing, and that's when Moses holds up the snake for healing. Yeah. Other than that, snakes are deceptive and liars and have poison. So snakes, a black snake is just something, an ungodly lie.
Sure.
So there's a couple of ungodly lies that are present when she's in a group setting, probably in the body of Christ. Mm. Dreams that are from the Lord are about spiritual things. So it may or may not be about the body of Christ, but I suspect it is. And she's feeling responsible. She's trying to kind of manage these lies. Mm-hmm. They're not bringing anybody real harm, including her, but putting them on your back is like a burden she's bearing.
Sure.
She's carrying them on her back, but they continue to affect and get out. So she's basically minimizing their impact, but not getting rid of them. So when you get a dream like that, what I would recommend for this dreamer is to ask the Lord, how do we just get rid of this dream altogether? Can you show me? Because the Lord's an expert at dealing with lies. The enemy's the liar and the thief. So the Lord would show her how. But the Lord's encouraging her this is a self-condition. He's not directing her. He's not correcting her. It's just like, you're carrying this burden. It may or may not really even be yours. And you're not getting rid of them. So he's just letting her know he understands what she's doing and that she's aware of these lies, but that she's not effectively eliminating them either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How gracious of the Lord too, that he's just like, I know you, I know what's going on. And even stuff that we might not be praying about, but just is happening in our life. Mm-hmm. He's willing to look at and say like, hey, things would go better.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the abundant life that I have planned for you.
Yeah.
And he leads us into that abundant life.
Yeah.
Even when we're sleeping.
Yeah.
Love it.
It is so good. And you know, what's interesting about dreams is in Acts, when the Lord says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and they'll dream dreams and they'll prophesy, mm-hmm. all that scripture, but pour out my spirit on all people. It's fascinating. He's not saying on all believers. He's saying, I'm pouring my spirit out on all people. And what we find is we can go into very ungodly environments and tell people we're dream interpreters, and they will tell us their dreams, yep. and we'll find that God is speaking to them.
Yeah.
Because he's speaking to everybody, and he has created everyone, whether they acknowledge him as Lord or not, he still speaks to them through their dreams. And if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not covered by his protection, you can get some ungodly influences in your dreams as well. Mm-hmm. And even people who know the Lord sometimes have tormenting dreams, and that's a whole different podcast. But, you know, the Lord's so good, and he has so much to tell us, and it isn't limited to the body of Christ.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he's pursuing everyone.
Exactly. He loves them all.
He's
whether they acknowledge him or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We did that not that long ago, Christy, you and mm-hmm. I, and a team. We were interpreting dreams at a non-Christian environment where, you know, sometimes you can speak openly about the Lord, and other times it's just taking people one step closer to introducing them to the real Jesus, who's mm-hmm. kind and loving. And it was really fun to have people share their dreams. And one of my favorites at the end, part of the dream, was that in this person's dream, their boss was there who was looking for a suit because his son had died. And the whole first part of the dream had to do with calling and destiny, and it was really good. And I'm like, and I said out loud, I'm like, who could the boss be whose son died? And as I said it, I was like, oh, that feels pretty obvious.
Who's in charge of the universe who had a son who died?
The big boss. And so actually being like, hey, Jesus is the son of the boss who's died. And it's actually the way into the destiny, all those things revealed.
And they received it.
So excited. Mm-hmm. So excited. Actually was like, can I hug you? This is incredible. And just like, how God was pursuing this person who probably wouldn't be sitting in a church on a Sunday morning or in a traditional setting, that God's still pursuing and mm-hmm. still loving and still finding it. And we were sharing earlier that a lot of people in the Muslim world have dreams of Jesus. Almost everyone who comes
very
to
common,
the Lord.
Very common.
That is a really mm-hmm. common testimony of Jesus, or the man in white. Mm-hmm. He's just in brilliant white clothing. He actually appears in dreams all over the Muslim world. And so it's just a beautiful thing that God is pursuing people, even if we don't know how to seek him ourselves.
Right, right. Yeah. It is wonderful.
That's great. Okay, you ready for another one, Christy?
You bet.
All right. So this person said, I was on the floor of a warehouse type room where the builders of a huge tube were demonstrating how it worked to a friend who works in missions at another church. The tube was huge and connected at the ceiling and went to the floor. The tube could be moved around the floor. It was somewhat flexible, like a huge dryer tube. The builders were explaining how the connections were so strong that they would never separate or break. My friend was near the ceiling. He saw me on the floor and waved, and that was the end of the dream. The title if there was one of them, would be Giant Tube. And the colors were normal, so just standard everyday colors, like you would see in a warehouse. And the dreamer said, I was curious as to what was going on. So the main emotion was curiosity, and there was no fear or concern.
Cool. Well, it sounds like the dreamer is mainly watching this dream. So they're in a warehouse, so they're watching it. They're watching their friend. They're watching the tube, but they're not really doing anything. Does that seem right? In that?
Yeah, just observing.
Right. And so observe where you are in the dream as the dreamer is very important. Many times dreamers are watching other stuff happen. They're really not interacting with the people in the dream or with the action in the dream. And it doesn't sound like this dreamer really is interacting. And those dreams are mainly about a call to pray for something. The Lord's telling you to pray for something. People will tell me things like, I'm up in the corner of a room watching something. That's really clearly intercession. Or they'll be seeing something in another part of the world. They're not even, it's like watching a movie, but they're not even there. They're just seeing it all. Those are calls for intercession. But this person is being called to intercede for something the Lord is building, a warehouse. The Lord is working on and manufacturing and building. And it's a connection between in the body of Christ. That's that so things are being transferred from one group of believers to another group of believers. And it's the connection is secure and strong. Isn't that what the word she used? Mm-hmm. So yeah. The Lord is making strong connections. That's the unity in the body of Christ. And things will be transferred back and forth, and it's solid. And the friend, good friends in a dream represents the Lord. And so the Lord is waving to her and showing her something that he wants her to pray about. So he wants her to be in intercession for the body of Christ and the strong connections within the body of Christ that will allow transfer of good things back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah, do it, Lord.
Come on, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's so fun. And, you know, our gifting in life has a lot to do with what we're dreaming about at night. And you're saying that you believe this person has an intercessory call.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that the Lord would give intercessory type dreams.
Right. Especially if she's faithful to do that, and then he'll give her more.
Right.
You know, it's like we said before, when you steward things well, the Lord trusts you with more.
Yeah. What about reoccurring dreams?
Reoccurring dreams are important. When Pharaoh had a reoccurring dream and Joseph interpreted them for him, he said it's reoccurring because the Lord says it's going to happen soon. So it's like, pay attention, this is going to happen. That was about the famine that was coming, the 7 years of famine. And what's interesting with that dream is that the Lord gave that dream to the Pharaoh. And most people, I would say about 80% of their dreams are for themselves. Lots of different reasons. The Lord's talking about lots of different things, but it's for you. But leaders can be a little bit different, where a bigger percentage of their dreams are for the people they lead and for the group that they're in charge of. And so Pharaoh is leading a country. And so this is a dream. The Lord cares about the people in that country, and he's telling him what's coming in the country. And he's telling it to him twice, this is important, pay attention, it's happening soon. So there's this famine coming. And again, the anointing is there of Joseph, not only to interpret the dream for him, but to know what to do and to save a country. So the Lord is so good with those things.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but when it's a recurring dream, that usually means the Lord's putting a huge exclamation point on it. This is very important, pay attention, but it's coming fairly soon. And if it is a life calling and it's repeated, that's really, let's get going on your destiny here. You know, let me get you going. The Lord's trying to jumpstart you and get you going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great, because he cares about us living and walking in our destiny even more than we do.
Right.
So you don't need to get stressed about it. Don't need to be like, oh, I need to walk in my call. Like, he will get you there.
He's cheering you on.
That's right. So I have a dream. You want to hear one of my dreams?
Yes, I do.
This was a really fun one. I had it just the other week. And in my dream, I was with a friend or a couple of friends at this really cool restaurant. I think it was in Miami. but it opened up to the beach. So we were in the back of the restaurant.
One of the things I know about Rebecca is her favorite place on earth is the beach.
Yes. So already it's a great dream. Nothing else has to happen for this to be a great dream. But in the restaurant, I notice a top 10 tennis player, Juan Martín del Potro, who is my favorite tennis player. And I think he's so dreamy.
And why is he your favorite tennis player?
Because in real life, I met him at a restaurant in Miami. And he's that's not it, too. He has the best forehand in tennis. He's got a great heart. He's overcome a ton of adversity. And everybody in the tennis world loves this guy. He's super kind and just, he's the guy you always want to cheer for.
He's a superstar and generous and kind. And
he's Mr. Argentina, carried their flag at the Olympics. Yeah, and he's dreamy.
Okay.
So I was in this restaurant. I see him. He comes in. And we go over and start talking to him. Or he comes to us. I don't know. We're talking to him. I'm not sure how that
and
started.
And we is just you and a group of friends?
And I, yeah, just a friend. Yeah. Good friend of mine. I actually don't even remember which friend. I just know that was a good friend. And we're there talking. And he just starts telling me about some of these injuries he's had. And all on the right side of his body. And I was just like, well, in my mind, in the dream, I'm like, he's Catholic, so he'd probably be okay if I prayed for him. So I just say, hey, can I pray for you? And he's like, sure. So I start praying for his healing, and the power of God just hits him, and he falls down, and he falls down hard. He's a tall guy. He's 6'6", and he just, like, timbered. And we're like, ooh, probably should have caught him, because, like, everybody stopped and looked. So this guy hit the ground hard. And we kind of look down, like, oh, are you okay? And he, like, gets up. And his countenance has completely changed. He's super excited. He's had this great encounter with the Lord. He's completely healed. And he's so excited and just like going on and on and on. And then he proposed to me. Seriously, awesome. It's really the dream.
It's in the dream. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the dream. I didn't
So what would you call that dream? What would you title it?
Praying for Juan Martín del Potro.
The dreamy tennis player.
Praying for Delpo.
And tell me what kind of colors or what the lighting was like in the stream.
It was normal. It was nighttime, but it was like the atmosphere of the restaurant, you know, being in evening, going to dinner.
On the beach, which is
on the beach.
Great
really
place.
Fun place.
Okay,
lively.
So what in the dream, what the Lord's talking to you about is a call in your life. You're talking about calling dreams. It's a call in your life to minister to people who are famous and wealthy, but important people who have issues in their life in what they're trying to break through. The right side is what he's trying to break through. He's got a lot of injuries in breaking through because all his injuries are on the right side. Is that right?
That's right.
So it's a call on your life. You have a friend with you, a good friend, but you couldn't name that friend. Well, that was the Lord. So the Lord is partnering with you to take you into your destiny, which is to minister to people who have influence, who are well-known, who are struggling with breakthrough in their lives, mm-hmm. and you have a call to do that. And on the beach, I mean, the Lord is showing you this is a good place for you. This is where you will thrive in that calling. Not necessarily on the beach, but that represents everything that your heart desires, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that marriage proposal mean anything?
Oh, it's covenant. Absolutely a covenant. So if you have a proposal, the Lord is offering
not
this to you.
Literally, I know that. And that just goes out to everybody. I do not think that Juan Martín del Potro is going to propose
But
to
if
me.
He did, I bet you'd say yes, maybe.
Strongly consider it.
But what it is the Lord is offering this to you. The Lord's not insisting that you take this call. He is proposing it to you. He is offering that. You can enter into covenant with the Lord and take that up, you know, take that offer of ministering to those kind of people, but it's not being enforced on you. It's being proposed to you. It's being offered to you.
Yeah.
You get to say yes or no.
That's great. I love that. Love that dream. And again, I love that God's so creative and he speaks to us in ways that are really significant to us. That was a big, important dream for me. And he used symbols and things that are really significant and have a lot of meaning for me, which is so fun.
And that's the beauty of dream language is, you know, there are some things that will mean pretty simple things, similar things to lots of different people. But there, most things in our dreams are a very personal language between the Lord and us. He knows every second of our lives. He knows where we were, what things mean to us. And he uses that language in our dreams.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, Christy, do you have any dreams?
Oh, my goodness. I dream all the time. You know, it's interesting. I was teaching a class last night, and one of the dreams I hadn't thought about for a long time was a fun dream. I was a pastor at a local church for 20 years, just under 20 years. And when I started my role as pastor there, I didn't know about dreams and visions and things. And so then I met John Paul Jackson. I learned all these things, and I'm starting to move in this. And it was a little bit of a controversial thing in our church, although I had the blessing of the senior pastor, and he knew what I was doing. But people, it was a big church, so thousands and thousands of people. And so some people would wonder what's going on with our lady pastor. And it was just a really interesting time trying to teach on this, but still not be able to explain it to everybody that, yeah, this is biblical and it is God. So anyway, that's the season I was in. And I was asking the Lord, well, what do you want me to do with all this? And in the dream, I was driving. The dream starts, I'm in the cab of a semi-truck, big 18-wheeler, and I'm driving it, and I am rocking it. I'm feeling so cool because I'm shifting gears in a great big 18-wheeler and
yeah,
having no trouble, and it's just, I'm like, this is awesome, and I'm doing it, and it's not even hard for me. And I pull this 18-wheeler into the church and park it in the church, which I know that the time it's the church I'm working at, but it doesn't look at all in the dream like the church I'm working at, And I get out of the truck, and literally it's parked inside of the church. And I'm like, oh my goodness, now what am I going to do? I brought this big, big truck into the church. I brought this big truck into the church, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I have to go find the senior pastor and ask him, what do I do with this now? Yeah. And so in the dream, I knew I had to go to the second level to get the answer from the senior pastor. So I'm walking, and there is no second level in this church, but that's where I went in the dream. And as I'm walking at the second level, this person all dressed in white comes up to me and says, you do not need to talk to the senior pastor to figure out what to do with this. You know what to do. Now get in the truck and drive it out of the church. Hmm. And that was the end of the dream. And so like that was perplexing. But I had my friends who were dream interpreters who helped me with this right away. And what is interesting is, so I have a powerful call on my life to move some powerful things, and I know how to do it well, which is true. You know, I understand this power of God, true. And I can move in these things. But I brought it into the church, which isn't exactly where it belonged. Hmm. And I was driving a semi-truck, which is only partial. So it's only part of, it's a play on words. It's only part of what my calling is. So I brought it into the church, which is only part of what my calling is. And I need to go to a higher level in the spirit, and the Lord will make clear to me what to do and impart to me the wisdom to know what to do. And I needed to take it out as well. And so it was a few years later, but the Lord did influence my husband and I to leave that position at the local church and start Dare to Believe Ministries. And that is more taking it out of the local church. So part of what I was called to do is take it into the church, but part of what I'm called to do is take it out of the church as well.
That's great.
Yeah. I love that. That was we call that a destiny and a calling dream.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great. So two other questions for you before we sign off. First off, we talked about this a little bit, but someone's hearing this and they say, well, I don't really dream at all. What would you say to them? How would they start having dreams or have more dreams?
Well, first I'd tell them that you probably do dream. You're just not remembering your dreams. And there can be lots of reasons you don't remember dreams. There can be medical reasons. There can be just emotional reasons. And there can be physical reasons. Who knows? But most people are all dreaming. And if you do dream testing and they do like brainwave testing, most people do go into REM sleep. So you are having dreams. That's where we dream. But you need to just ask the Lord.
Yeah.
And tell him, I want to steward this well. I would encourage you to either put a notebook by your bed so you can write down dreams when you're starting to wake up and capture them early. And don't try to write on every detail. Just do a general outline of the dream. And when you're more awake, more alert, then fill in the blanks and it will all come back to you. Some people actually keep their phone near their bed and they record on the phone. That doesn't work for me because I'm not very... I can't understand what I'm saying when I'm that tired, but
that's happened with a few of my notes.
Yeah,
that I've written later. I'm like, what does that say?
But I actually keep my dreams on Evernote, where you can put tags on the dreams, and I can go back. I date them and I title them, and then I put tags in there so I can search for them. Just start remembering, recording your dreams, because there are dreams that the Lord will bring to mind months, days, years down the road. And you'll want to go back to the dream and remember what he was talking to you about. So I just said, start stewarding them, start asking the Lord for them, trusting that he wants you to know this. Yeah. And don't let anxiety get in the way, because anxiety can shut down your dreams as well.
Yeah. And I'm going to add one other thing to that, and that is go to bed.
Yeah,
go to sleep. No, if you're under in the sleep department, you're not going to remember your dreams. You're not going to go into deep sleep. And that sometimes is the thing that's keeping people from having dreams, is they're just not sleeping.
You know, that's a good point, because our culture is the most sleep deprived anywhere, because people aren't sleeping 8 hours a night. Then you need at least 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And if people aren't sleeping well, you don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have actually had dreams while I nap too. So there's been times where I've had naps and I've had the Lord speak to me a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So
me too. So naps count. Yay.
Naps count.
Take a nap.
Take a nap. Finally, what do I do if I'm having dreams? And, you know, this may be the first I've heard about dream interpretation. Where do I go with them? How do I learn more about this? What can I do to...
Well, first of all, I encourage you to come to Dare to Believe. We love to teach on this. If you send in on our website a dream, we have interpreters here who will interpret dreams for you. We have a team that does that. Come to classes. We teach on that. But there are other places you can get classes. I encourage Streams Ministries is a great place to find resources on dream interpretation. Streamsministries.com or Dare to Believe, daretobelieve.info with the number 2. I would say Michael French in Michael B. French. I would recommend his dream interpretation material, but there's just some really good stuff out there. We are soon going to have a class online where people will be able to watch online my class on teaching dreams as well.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of good stuff out there. Make sure that it's biblically based. Make sure that it's not a secular, soul-based type of dream interpretation. And just trust the Lord to lead you.
Yeah. And I will say to all our listeners that Christy is extremely gifted in teaching about dreams, and that I have improved greatly in my ability to understand and interpret dreams just from sitting under her and hearing her teach and be a part of that. So I'm just saying, go do that. If this is interesting to you, find out. If you're in the Twin Cities, we have dream labs once a month, and there's classes that go on. So check out the website, daretobelieve.info, for more information.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Christy, before we go, will you just pray for us?
I will. And what I want to say is, when I started to learn about dreams and I sat under people who taught about them, what I found is the Lord brought back all sorts of dreams that I remembered from my past. Like, oh my gosh, now I'm remembering this dream. So trust the Lord to do that. When you're in the environment, you'll start to remember and it'll make more sense to you. So just step out and do it.
That's good. Good advice.
Yeah. So Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of dreaming. Thank you for the way you created us so fearfully and wonderfully, each and every one of us. So I just declare over all of our listeners that you are created in God's image. You were created to receive revelation of all sorts, but especially dreams. So I just declare protection and blessing over your dream life, an increase and more understanding and more peace. So peace is... the potting soil of revelation. I just call forth more peace in every one of our lives, that we will receive more of what the Lord has. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's daretobelieve.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.